Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. It's the year of new beginnings in my walk with God, in my relationships, and in my finances. New beginnings. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, so let's start. I want to show you something. All right, go to John 9. John chapter 9. Just a thought in the Word of God. John 9 verse 1. Praise the Lord. Are you in this place? So let's look at it together. It says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Take note of this. That means the man had never seen. All right? He was blind from his birth. He doesn't know what colors are. He's never seen them before. The people who got blind eventually, so you can tell this is black, this is white, this is red. Ah, this is nose. He's never seen that before. All right? Verse 2. So this one would take, this is a serious miracle. Someone who has never seen before, praise the Lord. All right? And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? What a thought. What a thought. They saw a man that was born blind, and immediately they are thinking, who did something wrong? Is it him or his parents? Now, firstly, this one is even ridiculous. If he was born blind, he could not have done something wrong. Except he did something wrong before he was conceived. All right? But it just shows you how they thought. They thought for someone to be suffering from a particular ailment, he must have done something wrong. If it's not him, okay, someone connected to him, which is still unfair. Why should I suffer for what someone else did? Praise the Lord. There are people that they think they are still going through the problems in their life because of what their great-grandfather did in the village. He stole the crown from another kingdom. So now it's affected. Great-grandfather, man is dead. The person he stole the crown from, dead. But they think he's still affecting them. What a life. The question is, how about the good things he did? How come it's not affecting you? He says, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, to be fair, when you study the Word of God, secondarily, you realize that, yeah, there are some people that Jesus met and he said, don't sin again. That was the worst thing will come to you. Go to John 5. We'll come back here. John 5 verse 1. Because we have to be complete. John 5 verse 1. All right. All right, let's start from verse. Let me tell you the story. Go to verse 8. But there was a man who had been paralyzed for 38 years. All right, go to verse 8. 38 years. All right, and Jesus met him there and said, do you want to be well? And the man said, there's nobody to put me to the water. And Jesus said, all right, verse 8 is, rise, take up thy bed and what? Walk. Verse 9. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was what? The Sabbath day. So this is a miracle. This man was walking before. Something happened. He couldn't walk anymore. Jesus beat him and said, you know what? Get up. It's your time. Praise the Lord. And he got up. Go to verse 11. Let's see now. Verse 11. Now, the man didn't know who Jesus was. They just had a conversation. And Jesus said, get up and walk. So while he was going, some people said, hey, it's Sabbath day. You should not carry your bed. He said, the one who told me to get up and walk said I should take my bed. Praise the Lord. Go to verse 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. He's the same man. Do you understand? When Jesus healed him, he left him. He didn't say, let's do celebration. No, he healed him. Get up, go. Man said, go. And Jesus left. Then later on, Jesus found him, was still around. So Jesus looked for him and found him because he had a message for him. Verse 14. Are you in this place? Yes, Jesus found him in the temple and said unto him, behold, that means look, thou art made whole. Say, look, you are well now. Sin no more. Lest a worse thing come unto thee. So you see now, he's linking sin with the problem. So when he says, lest a worse thing, meaning that this bad one that happened, you did something wrong. See, don't sin again. Do you understand? Sin no more. Sin no more means you have been sinning, so stop it. So here he's linking the two. Go to Romans 1 verse 27. Romans 1 verse 27. Romans 1 verse 27. Just look at this. It says, and likewise also the men living the natural use of woman, born in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was what? Meat. Here he's saying that because some people left their natural desires and they're desiring other people of the same sex, he says they'll get sick. Are you seeing that? Their sickness, their problem is because of what they did. Okay? And then you also look at Mark 2. I'll just say that one. Jesus told a man, your sins are forgiven you, rise up and walk. So chances are maybe he did something wrong. Go back to John 9. I'm saying all of that to say that yes, there are instances where because someone did something wrong, I said secondarily, not primarily, something bad happened to him. We see that in John 5. Think about it. That was why the man was paralyzed for 38 years. 38. Some of you are not up to 38. Not even up to 19. 38 years. Enough time to go to school and have your PhD. That man was sick because of something he did wrong. So maybe that's why, because that's in John 5. Do you understand? So maybe that's why the disciples start to ask the question. So let's go from verse 1 again. Thank you. He says, and Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Verse 2. And disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Verse 3. Jesus answered, is the man who? Are you in this place? Are you looking at this? Jesus answered, it's the man. Is that what he said? Jesus answered, it's his mother. Actually, it's his mother. She's always fighting. So someone swore for her child. Oh, dear Lord. There are people that are in unnecessary bondage. Unnecessary bondage. They think the reason why their child doesn't pass in school is because of the curse someone laid on the child. Unnecessary bondage. But look at what Jesus answered. He said, neither had this man sinned. Which, like I said, it doesn't make any sense. If he was born blind, what point did he sin? So he could not have sinned. Nor his parents. So his parents are innocent. Some say his father is a thief. That's why he came without hand. He should have caught his father's hand, but it's his own hand. Have you seen people like that? They think they came because the child is suffering because the father did something wrong. Just like Job's friends. When Job was going through affliction, his friends came. Are you in this place? What friends? His friends traveled, came to tell him that he did something wrong. If I was going through affliction and I'd lost all my properties and I had friends, I expect them to come and contribute money. Are you in this place? Contribute money. All right? Let's put hands together. Say, you don't have house. All right, come, I'm going to give you house. You don't have this. All right, come, I'm going to give you this. Praise the Lord. That's what I expect. Those ones traveled all the way to come and tell him he did something wrong, he should confess. That's how people think. And you could be here right now, you probably think the same way. The reason why this headache kept coming is because you're always angry. Or, hold on, because you did something wrong. Maybe. But the word of God shows us the truth. Praise the Lord. So yeah, Jesus is saying, this man did not sin, his friend. So why is he blind? Why was he born blind? So firstly, it is possible that you didn't do anything wrong and something bad is happening to you. You don't have to always equate it. When something bad happens, what did I do wrong? That is not always the truth. It is possible that you are doing everything right and something bad still happens. Look at it. He says, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Verse 4. I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day. The ninth come, I don't know. Now, someone can look at that verse 3 and say, the reason why he was born blind is because God wants to show himself. God doesn't need your sickness to show himself. Are you in this place? He's God. He doesn't even need anything to happen before he shows himself. He says, go to that verse 3 again. mystery. He says, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now, the Bible says in Acts 10, verse 8, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So God working with Jesus did not afflict people with sickness, but healed them. That is the work of God. Healing, restoration, deliverance. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He had anointed me to preach deliverance to the captives. He never said, the Spirit of God is upon me. He had anointed me to punish all of you. In fact, the original place he quoted, Isaiah said, to proclaim the judgment of the Lord. Jesus didn't quote that. So when he says the works of God should be manifest in him, he's saying that this thing that happened is the work of Satan. But I'm going to manifest the work of God. Go to 1 John 3, verse 8. 1 John 3, verse 8. First John 3, verse 8. I want us to start from, okay, let's read it. It says, he that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was what? Manifested. That he might what? Destroy the works of what? The devil. So right there, he's saying, this man born blind, it's not because his parents sinned. Someone is responsible. It's the devil. So go to John 9, verse 4. Says, I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. He's saying, right now, this man is blind, but I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day. And he healed the man. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I showed you this to say that there are people who think because they are doing something right, something bad should not happen to them. I've heard many times I said, he was faithful in the house of God. I mean, he was in choir, ushering, everything. And this sickness still came. Faithfulness is a good thing. Service is a good thing. But God's word gives us insight. He's telling you now that even though you did everything right, there is an adversary that doesn't care whether you did something right or wrong. His job as an adversary is to be in opposition to you. That's his job. So he could be doing something right and he'll still come. So you can say, I know my uncle was a Christian, very fervent Christian, and he still died of that disease. Yeah. Because his fervency will not replace faith. His fervency will not replace casting out devils. Praise the Lord. So don't replace it. The word tells us something. He's saying that, listen, there are people who go around, Christians, they are just, you know, playing up and down. They don't know they have an adversary. There is a spirit being that is actively working against you every time. That's his job description. Do you understand? When someone's job is to oppose you, meaning he will give it full focus. Go to 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Now, have you seen people who are opposed to someone else? Even if the person did something good, they will look for something bad in it. They are opposed to that person. They can't see anything good. They can't give the person a break. Look at Jesus. I told you, on that cross, the Bible says the Pharisees and people that stood by mocked him. They said he saved others. Let him come down and save himself. Ridiculous. Who kills a man because he helped other people? But to them, saving others had become a bad thing because they didn't like him. By the way, his adversary. Are you in this place? Now the Bible tells, look at it, verse 8. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he doesn't mean words. It's not only the adversary of pastors. He said, your adversary. You have an adversary, praise the Lord. That means you're a big person, because he's trying to spoil God's plan for your life. Meaning God's plan for your life is very great. He says, your adversary, the devil, as a what? Roaring lion. Walking about. Seeking whom he may who, what? Devour. So whether you're doing something right or not, there's an adversary that is looking to destroy you. If you like, pray 3 hours, he's still there, he wants to do something wrong. Think about it. This adversary came to Jesus and tried to tempt him. If he tried to kill Jesus through Herod, tried to kill Jesus through the boat, the storm in the sea, how about you? Jesus said, if they have done it to the master of the house, they do it to his household. So there's an adversary. You don't have to do anything wrong for him to afflict you. But you can do something right if he comes. Are you in this place? You're not weak. You can do something right. But first and foremost, so the question, anytime you feel a headache, did I do something wrong? Wrong question. That should not be your first response. Recognize that there's an adversary. Verse 9. It says, who will resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He says there's an adversary. He goes about looking for whom to devour. Let's go to that verse 8 again. Go there. Verse 8. He says, be sober, be what? Vigilant. You see? Be vigilant. Be aware. Be aware. Don't say this small wound. Bring Panadol. You're dealing things in physical realm. He says, be vigilant. So then can use that and do something else. Understand that there's an adversary. The devil. And he's walking about seeking, meaning that he's waiting for you to give him an opportunity, whom he may devour. Verse 9, he says, whom resists. That's your response. Anytime Satan shows his head, he says what? Resist him. That's what you do. Simple. Just resisting will save you years. Years of heartache. Just resisting. Imagine if that man that was born blind, his parents were Christians. And maybe they heard that your child might not say in the name of Jesus, not true. His eyes are perfect. He says, resist. Resist. That's all you need to do for Satan. And he'll go. But to resist him, you have to be aware that he's consciously present, trying to destroy you. Trying to work against you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say steadfast in the faith. What if you did something wrong? And that's why, you know, this is happening to you. Because here we have established that you don't have to do something wrong for something bad to happen to you. What if you did something wrong? The Bible says in Christ there is remission. There is redemption. If you ask for forgiveness, 1 John 1 verse 9. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all what? Meaning that anything that could have gone wrong because you did something wrong. He says he would cleanse you from all what? Unrighteousness. Anything that is not right. Maybe that thing you did wrong had spoiled something in your body, in your life, in your family. He says, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just, not just to forgive the sin, but to correct everything. There is redemption in Christ. Also, if you did something wrong, it was God you disobeyed. He is your father. What is Satan's business in it? Nothing. He has no right there. Are you in this place? Imagine you're a parent. You told your child, don't eat meat. Don't touch this meat. And your child ate the meat. And you came. Then your neighbor, not from your compound, another compound, came and starts beating your child, drag your child to police station. What? You are the parent. You have two options. Forgive the child or beat the child. And he says God will forgive. So what is the business of the neighbor? Coming to Tommy and say, this your child is a very stupid child. You know, at times you don't mind people insulting you. But they dare not insult your family member. They will see it. At times, you don't mind beating your sister. But someone else dares not. Are you in this place? I mean, if someone is beating your sister, you're going to say, you, if it is me that I beat, I will not mind. But you cannot beat my sister. Even if I beat, do you understand? Family member. So don't act as though Satan is part of the family. And he should be measuring judgment because you disobeyed God. You didn't disobey him. Are you in this place? He gave no laws. He's a transgressor. So he has no business there. But he takes advantage of the ignorance and opposes men. Advantage of ignorance. And so, firstly, your response, if something happens that you did not plan for, should not be, what did I do wrong? If it's a pain in your body, don't say, oh, because I was in cold for a very long time. Boy, you are giving Satan an excuse. Someone says, is everything Satan? Go to Acts 10 verse 38. Acts 10 verse 38. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing some that were oppressed of the devil. Is that what the Bible says? Healing wicked people only that were oppressed of the devil. Is that what the Bible says? Healing all. All. You know, I was thinking of something during the week. Or was it yesterday? I was thinking that, boy, a lot of people are afflicted by Satan and they don't even know. But once the demon goes out, that problem follows it. Think about it. The Bible says in Matthew 9, all right, and Luke 11, that Jesus was casting out a devil from a guy that could not talk. All right? Immediately the devil checked out, the guy began to speak. It was not a brain problem. It was not nerve damage. It was not an eardrum problem. It was a demon. Now, there are other cases where it might not have been a demon. All right? Because when you look at Mark 7, Jesus didn't cast out devils there. But for that one, the reason why the guy could not talk was a demon. In Matthew 12, the Bible says he was casting out a demon from a man who was blind and dumb, meaning he could not see. And immediately the devil left, the man began to see. Amazing! The devil entered the man and shut his eyes. It was not a brain problem. It was not because he exposed his eyes to light or computer screen. It was Satan. And then Jesus said, out! That man began to see. I also remember another one in Luke 13. Okay, let's go there. Because I think I'm really fast today. Luke 13. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 10. Are you in this place?
Yes,
it says, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Okay, I've been waiting to say this. While we were praying, someone you had a nasal problem. I don't know how to put his nasal shot. Maybe your nose, you can't breathe well, oh my God, but it's clear now in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
All right, verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Verse 11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Huh. And was bowed together and could not in no wise lift up herself. She was like this for 18 years. Look at it naturally. You ask, what is wrong with your spine? Physiotherapy. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's good. All right? What is wrong? It's because you're always putting your nose into other people's business. Now the back has come like this. You could think that. He said she could not lift herself up. Her muscles, everything, shriveled in that position. And probably she was using a stick. Have you seen people like that? But it was not a physical problem. It was a spirit of infirmity. Meaning, oh boy, a demon entered her and kept her like that. Bound her like, kept her like that throughout. He's smiling, but he's like that. Verse 12. So Jesus was in the synagogue. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Listen to this. Jesus was in the synagogue and he saw the woman walking. She didn't come to meet him. She was passing. And when Jesus saw her, he was the one who called her. You can't be in this place and live with sickness. Are you in this place? Whether the ones you are used to, the ones you excuse, the one you say is small, the one you say is mighty, Jesus is in this place. He says, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. He was the one who called her. He said, come. And said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Verse 13. And he laid his hands on her. And immediately she was made straight. What happened to the muscles that shriveled? The spine, the bones. Once that demon left, Jesus didn't say, "Woman, what did you do? Are you always weeding? Are you a farmer? You look like a farmer. That's why I be." No. She could say, "Oh, it's because I've been picking grass. One day I went and I could not come back again." No, she didn't do anything wrong. Are you seeing that? This woman did nothing wrong. It was a spirit. Remember, these demons are adversaries. They show no mercy. They don't understand your situation. They come to destroy. He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. For some people, you have been catching ulcer. Say, "This is my ulcer. This is your ulcer. It's demon, no? You have carried demon like a baby." Say, "This is my, I can't eat this. This is my ulcer. I must not hurt my ulcer." Oh my goodness. A demon, a caricature of a creature. For some people, it's asthma. Yeah, I cannot. Praise the Lord. But that demon is out in the name of Jesus. It says, and immediately she was made straight, immediately, and glorified God. This woman came to that synagogue not expecting a miracle. She left with one. So if you're here and maybe you have something and you're not expecting, I'm telling you, you can live with a healing. Because Jesus is in this place. Are you in this place? Verse 14. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to walk, in them therefore come and be healed." Not on the Sabbath day. Please listen to this, all right? The ruler of the synagogue got angry because Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. All right? I told you, at times you do something good, someone that is opposed to you will always see something bad. But that's not all. I want you to see what he said. He says, "There are 6 days in which men ought to walk." Firstly, Jesus did not live in the synagogue. So that means he will not be there all 6 days. So who will be there? The man. So he said, "You can come any day, we can do these things." Meanwhile, the woman has been coming since nothing happened. He says, "There are 6 days in which men ought to walk. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Verse 15. The Lord then answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath lose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to..." See, Jesus doesn't like people who are opposed to God doing good. See, you're a hypocrite. Because it's Sabbath day, she should not be healed. But you lose your ox so that it will not die. You take it to go and eat. 16. He says, "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan..." Are you seeing it now? That spirit of infirmity was Satan. You can't lift your hand like this since you were born, but you've been managing with it. It's Satan. He says, "Whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day." What a question. Of course, the answer is yes. This woman did nothing wrong, but there was an adversary, and he bound her for 18 years. 18. So if you know up to 18, but you say, "I've been used to this since I was born." Well, there can be deliverance. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise say glory. Glory. There can be deliverance. That asthma can go and never come back. Are you in this place? That heart palpitations can go and never return. That blood disease can disappear and never come back. And it should. Satan has no place in you. So, understand that if you're going through afflictions that you have been managing, always taking vitamins, this. All right? It should end. It's not because you did something wrong. And leave your parents, because, you know, someone can say parents, different genotype, they knew, they came together. You're like the disciples in John 9. So it is possible that maybe they did something wrong naturally. But you are a child of God. You are born again. Maybe when you were born from them the first time, something happened and it didn't go well. That's why God said, "Be born again." This second time, you are a new creature. Brand new. Full of God. So God doesn't afflict. Get it, settle it in your heart. God doesn't afflict. Let me tell you how much Jesus wants you to be well. Let me tell you. In Luke 22, are you listening to me? They came to arrest him. That's what the Bible says. Go to Luke 22. I need to show you that. Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 48. I just want to show you how much you should not allow afflictions in your body. Don't get used to it. 48. They had come to arrest Jesus. Judas came with them. Are you in this place? But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? So Jesus said, you came to kiss me because you want to betray me. Verse 49. When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? Verse 50. And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. That was Peter. So they were ready for a fight. They came to arrest Jesus and they were ready for war. So Peter immediately cut someone's ear. Praise the Lord. I always stop here. Because I always think, what sort of battle plan is that? If this came to your house, all right? Okay, not your house. Things will never near your house. Amen. All right. But I think if you want to kill someone or if you're fighting, you should not cut their ear. You should pierce them where they will fall and never come back. Are you in this place? That's what you should do. You can imagine the people Jesus had with him. Those, they would have, if he depended on them, they would have killed Jesus. Because you want to fight a man and you cut his ear. The man still has his sword. As you're cutting his ear, he's piercing you. You're dead. They didn't watch action film. So Peter, thinking he was doing something wise, cut someone's ear. All right. Verse 51. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus, for that means it's enough. It's enough. And he touched the man's ear and did what? Healed him. Even that wicked man that came to arrest him, Jesus thought he didn't deserve to go through life with pain. How much more you that you have not arrested Jesus? You have not thought of it. In fact, you are worshiping him and you love him. And your ear has not cut. That means your healing should be spontaneous and fast and immediate. God doesn't afflict people with sickness. He doesn't punish you with that thing. Neither does he want you to get used to it. That has been in your family. It's a family thing. You are in a new family now. You have a new name. And in this family, it's only health we know. It's only the divine life that we know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. New family. Let me just show you one last one. Luke 9 verse 55. You've been faithful, Lord. 55. From the ages past. And we know your name is forevermore. Sing it. You've been faithful, Lord. From the ages past, and we know your name. Maybe you're here and you need a miracle or healing. Put your hands there. From the ages past. If he did it before, he did it again. Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's forever. You've been faithful, God. Jesus, that migraine is gone forever. Ooh, have a problem with your ear, but it affects your jaw, in the name of Jesus, is healed. Someone else, intestinal problem. And that is different from the person who has gastric ulcer. In the name of Jesus, healing is yours. Amen. Let's finish this. It says, but he turned and rebuked them, said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. So his disciples came and they wanted to destroy some people. And Jesus rebuked them. I like what he said here. He says, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. He's saying, you don't understand the spirit that you came from. You don't understand him. You don't know him. You don't know God. That's what he's trying to say. Because they wanted to hurt other people. And Jesus is saying, you don't know God. Verse 56. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to what? Save them. Say, this is God. He didn't come to destroy, but to save. Meaning it was spoiled before he came to save. Not to make things worse. It is Satan. Jesus forever differentiated himself from Satan. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to what? Destroy. So anytime you see death, you see theft, you see destruction, he says, it is not him, it is Satan. He says, but I am come that they might what? Have life. Anytime you see healing, peace, life, light, prosperity, it is God. There is no mixing of the two. None whatsoever. It doesn't matter who offend him. Like they did here. He said, look, he didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to what? Save them. So if you did something wrong, there is remission. And you should not suffer for it. Are you in this place? Say, I walk in health and vitality. Lego prakase turubo shatarabaya. Lago supra do sharamandi ligedes. There's someone here, you have an incomplete toe. But there has been restoration in the name of Jesus.